You're listening to the world famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Episode number 49 of the world famous Chick Whisperer show. Got a big show for you today, as always. And what we're going to talk about is certainly a rather controversial thing to discuss, but something that is probably long overdue for us to cover here on this show. And that is the idea of dating someone outside of your cultural background, aka interracial dating, if you want to be so bold as to just throw it out on the table and call it that. I got a great guest with me today. Interracial dating isn't his only thing that he covers, and certainly we will touch upon some of that stuff as well, but he is very, very good at talking about it. He's got some serious things to offer in that regard. His name is J.T. Tran, and you may also know him as the Asian Playboy. Yeah, you know him. He's got a whole segment on my Virtuosity program from a couple years ago. We've known each other for quite a while, and man, we should have had him on the podcast a long time ago, but hey, better late than never. JT, man, welcome to the show. Glad to have you.
Thank you for having me back on. It has been a while, you know?
And you've been up to some pretty interesting stuff. I read on your website that you have been speaking at Ivy League institutions like Harvard. How do you get that gig, man? How's that work?
Well, you know, I think part of it is simply because my company's mission statement is different from other kind of pickup dating advice companies, and the fact that for us, because I'm Asian, we face certain, I guess, dilemmas that other groups of people don't face, more than just getting women, but like racism and prejudice. So when universities or TV, you know, they want to do maybe a dating segment, and then they see us where we are also addressing larger issues at play than simply, oh, this guy can't get laid. They appreciate the fact that this is not simply a profession. This is more than a career. This is a calling. For me in particular.
So a lot of really intelligent guys, super intelligent guys, be they from Asia originally or otherwise, you know, they want a more, I guess, upscale, higher level view of this other than just how do I go to a club and get laid? And you're definitely one of the guys to do that.
Exactly. Not too long ago, like during the summer, we made the front page of New York Magazine, which is like a huge publication. And it was like one of the biggest news pieces on Asian America, and it had to do with the bamboo ceiling, and it talked about how Asians and Asian males, you know, in particular were encountering the bamboo ceiling in the corporate life, but also in the dating life, and we were part of that spread. And it talked about how, you know, we could be as well educated and motivated and making all this money, but we're still facing this bamboo ceiling, and part of it is our own fault. You know, because we spend so much time being educated, getting the job, getting the house, getting the car, and all that, but we don't spend time on developing ourselves as men, you know, men outside of our job, because our job shouldn't define us completely.
Now, you know, Emily and I have traveled extensively to Asia. Your parents are originally from Vietnam, which is a wonderful country, obviously, with a very storied history and a very troubled history with the United States, where we both live now. I have guys who have come to me from places like Vietnam, Korea, mainland China, and they come to the United States for what they would perceive to be a better life. And sure enough, they can get a great job. They're super smart. They succeed financially. And they end up getting everything but the woman, because the cultural difference between what they've been led to believe a man should be like in their country versus what a man should be like here in the United States, or what he's perceived to should be like, is so different. A lot of times guys have a hard time wrapping their head around it, and it becomes a really, really big obstacle to overcome. A lot of women also here in the United States, Canada, let's just throw North America and Western Europe into a big bag for the purpose of this conversation. They look at a guy who you guys would call FOB or fresh off the boat, and they say, man, this guy just doesn't understand how to relate to a woman like me. His priorities are different. You know, his whole persona, either rightly or wrongly, the perception is this is a guy I can't relate to. Whereas these guys really do want to succeed with women from their new culture. what do you tell guys like this? How do you coach guys like this? Is there anything that they can do to kind of lessen the blow of being in a new culture very quickly? And I guess, you know, maybe the best place to start, if I can ask six questions at once here, right, is how much truth is there to this big obstacle that guys face socially when they come here from Asia relative to how American, Canadian, British women are?
Right, all right. Okay, I mean, that's a great, great question, great topic, and obviously it's one that's very complex and something that I've been working out for, you know, over half a decade. But let me preface it by saying, you know, we talked about what Asian men are led to believe is attractive and confident, the differences here in America. There are certainly some technical differences, but I think confidence is confidence no matter what, and what women find attractive is pretty universal. I mean, you know, in Asia, we're taught to be, you know, we want to be strong. We want to take care of our family. We want to provide for our family. And this is universal, and this is attractive whether you're in Asia or in America. So, you know, that's still there, and that's something that's part of our culture. It's how it comes across to other people. Because Asia has a very kind of more conservative, more kind of patriarchal society, you know, to American women, it does, as you mentioned, come off as can be very misogynistic in some ways, and it's not necessarily meant to be, although obviously in some of the Asian countries that are like, you know, Vietnam, my mother country, coming from a third world and trying to industrialize and become more modern. So when they come over from Asia, you know, they do have to modernize their actions and the way they present themselves so that, as you mentioned, American women can relate to them. Part of it is how they speak to women, how they address them, how they present themselves to them. I know a lot of Asian guys, they want, you know, the really great girlfriend, right? Someone that's caring and kind. But at the same time, I've heard like American girls mention that, you know, an Asian guy is just looking for someone to take care of them, someone that will do their laundry and their cooking. And, you know, some guys are looking for that, right? And that's something that we need to humanize both parties, right, where Asian men should be looking for modern women and westernized women should be looking for a man that is strong, that has very strong family values.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think you've touched on this, but it bears saying a little bit more completely. Asia isn't one place in terms of culture. I mean, Vietnamese folks have a very different background than do Japanese. Certainly guys who come from mainland China have come from a culture where fitting in and kind of blending into the crowd is held in high esteem, whereas in the United States, it's exactly the opposite. A guy who stands out is going to be more attractive to women. You know, you have kind of the pushing and shoving culture in a place like China, whereas in the UK, standing in line and waiting your turn, just little things like that can cause some very distinct and challenging social situations for anyone who's coming from one culture to another, regardless of what that culture is. I mean, indeed, we've got guys who move from the United States to other places, and they expect women to be like American women, for example, in places like, oh, I don't know, Japan, if they move there, or Latin America, and they run into some kind of social faux pas also. So this is certainly not something that's Asia-specific, right?
Right. Well, Asian countries, as you mentioned, we're not monolithic or anything like that, though there are certain similarities. Usually when I advise my, as you mentioned, FOB, fresh off the boat Asians, when they come to America, is, you know, they may not speak great English, but the one language that is universal no matter where you go is body language. You know, just kind of presenting yourself to women. And also just one needs to educate oneself when you're in another country. You know, whenever I travel, I try to learn a few phrases, learn what's appropriate and what's not. You know, one thing I'll tell my Asian students is slurping your noodle very loudly may be complimentary over in like Vietnam or wherever, but it's considered kind of rude, you know, here in America. I mean, these things, and there's a lot more to it than that, but that's like a big example I remember recently from a one-on-one I did.
Man, just crossing the street is a completely different experience in Ho Chi Minh City versus in Beijing.
Yeah, it's terrifying, actually.
It's amazing. You know, before we go to our voicemail, I want to share something with you. You know, we went to Ho Chi Minh City, Emily and I, and we had to catch on to the whole, look, you look both ways, and really you just walk at a steady pace across the street and let this whole slew of motorbikes dodge you, because they will. You have to trust that. We saw a dog who had long since figured out how to cross the street in Vietnam. We have video of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is complete faith in everybody, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk some more about Asian guys. I also want to offer some things to some guys out there who aren't Asian. And we're going to do that right after we get to a voicemail. This comes to us from John in Denver. And here's what he's got to say.
Hey, Scott. This is John calling from Denver. I have a question for the Chick Whisperer podcast. I want to know how you go about telling a woman that you're dating more than one woman at a time without coming across as trying to brag or trying to show off or anything like that, but still being genuine enough to let her know that, you know, she's not the only one in your life right now. I would really like to know the answer to that question. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, JT, he's basically asking the question, how do I let women know that I am not going to be exclusive with them anytime soon? But it's interesting how he phrased the question, isn't it? He said, how do I tell them I'm dating other people without looking crass about it? I think that's kind of an interesting mindset to start off with, and I'm not sure that's the most effective way to even start out looking at it. What do you think?
Right, right. Like you said, it's interesting the way he phrased it in that, why tell her? You know, is he coming from a place where he wants to brag to her, or, you know, why does he need to do that? I think what I do is tend to casually mention that I'm going to be hanging out with other homegirls, you know, quote-unquote homegirls, and maybe doing this and that. But I'm not, you know, say, hey, I'm dating someone else, because that's very blunt, you know, especially when you're just starting to see someone and you're kind of feeling out the relationship. But, you know, I don't necessarily feel it's always beneficial to create these very obvious delineations, setting these boundaries when things are still kind of new and fresh.
Yeah, certainly you don't want to come off like you're bragging about dating other women other than the one who's in front of you, because any woman in her right mind, and indeed any woman from any country that I've ever visited, don't know about you, would see that as coming from a guy who just flat out doesn't get it. I mean, why in the world would you brag about that to another woman when that woman wants to be seen as the only human being in the world when she's in your presence? So I agree with you 1,000% here. And just to throw it on the table, I don't think it's anybody's business who else you're dating unless you're dating them exclusively. So if there's an exclusive relationship there, yes, that talk needs to happen where you're saying, hey, look, you know what? I am going to be seeing you from now on to the exclusion of all other people. But if you let a woman know that this is not an exclusive relationship, then I don't see that need at all to let her know what your social life looks like out of that context at all. I mean, what difference does it make? Let her go date the guy she's going to date. You date the women you're going to date. Why bundle that up and all the emotions with it and pass it across the table to the person you're supposedly trying to give attention to when you're around her? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, if a woman's coming to you after just a date or two and she's saying, hey, look, you know what? I need a boyfriend here. Are you going to crap? Are you going to get off the pot? What's going on here? I'm all about telling any woman who's putting that kind of pressure on you to be her boyfriend that quickly, look, I take exclusivity very, very seriously. I want to make sure I end up with the right woman someday. That may happen, but I take it really slowly. And when I get into an exclusive relationship, it's only when I am pretty sure there's long-term potential there. And that just flat out takes time. And you know what? Any woman who can't handle that, that says more about the woman than anything else. I mean, if any woman's trying to pressure you, to me, like I've said before, that's just as self-centered as any guy trying to pressure a woman for sex. She doesn't get it. She doesn't know how to get a boyfriend, so she doesn't deserve one if that's the way she's going to be.
Right, right. You know what? I think a lot of attractive women have guys in their lives, so you know, I think maybe they're expecting other, what is it that you have going for you? You know, do you, other women find you attractive? You know, are you seeing other women? And maybe it's a don't ask, don't tell policy, you know, hinting around the fact that you have women in your life, that's fine, you know, but being pressured into making a commitment, whether it's early or whatever, you should definitely try to avoid.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I just think that a lot of times men assume non-exclusivity when there's no quote-unquote talk, capitalized, you know, the talk. Mm-hmm. And women tend to assume exclusivity without the talk if they've dated a guy 3 or 4 times. So I think it's always good to be clear about it. But, man, you don't have to go into lurid detail. You just don't have to do that, John. And so I hope that answers the question for you. Great question, one that we're glad to make a point of answering. And I'll tell you what, JT, we need to give this guy a prize for sending us such an excellent, excellent voicemail. And I believe you got this brand new cool program out, and we're going to give him a copy of it.
Absolutely. It's a triple product. The first one is Text to Sect. It's a six-hour program on everything related to dating and seduction when it comes to the 21st century and your smartphone. It's more than text. It's phone. It's Facebook. It's everything. So, John, you will get access to that, you know, and then we have, like, Practical Day Game or in-field video training course, and then my ebook that I finally finished after 7 years, The Modern Asian Man. So there you go, John.
Good stuff. And you know, guys, JT's been training guys in field. Like he said, you know, he's got infield footage for day game here, and you just can't beat that kind of level of detail. He knows what he's doing. He's been in media all over the world, and this really is his first time that he's put it all into a product for you guys. So what I've done is I've set up a special URL where you can go check it out. It's www.thechickwhisperer.com/JT. There you go, man. Made it as memorable as possible for you. Thechickwhisperer.com, as always, /JT. Make those in small letters, if you will. And you'll get right to his page where he'll tell you all about that program. And let me tell you, that's three for one, basically. So JT and I were talking about this offline. And you know what? Kind of like I did with Virtuosity, he made sure that he brought a bazooka to a knife fight the first time he made a program. So, man, you're in for something special here. And, guys, if you would like to leave us a voicemail asking a question for use on this show, here's what you need to do. First of all, think of a question that's going to have very broad appeal. You know, not necessarily that it's going to appeal to broads since this is a guy's show. But make sure that it's a question that will serve the needs of a lot of guys who are listening. And also be very clear when you ask it. Be sure to enunciate and leave us your name, where you're from, and very importantly, a valid email address so we can send you your prize when your question is in fact used on this show and answered by a world-class expert like JT here. So what number do you need to call? Here it is. +1 if you're outside the United States, area code 210-362-4400. Once again, +1 210-362-4400. As always, nobody's going to answer that call. It's dedicated to your voicemail questions 24/7, 365 and a third. And guess what? You will be given some instructions as soon as you call that number, and it'll be just all about the voicemail. If you mess up, call back and do it again. And don't worry, we'll know what to do with both of those takes, and we'll pick the right one. We'll edit it phonetically, make you sound good here on the show, and you'll have your question answered. You'll be armed with new information and with a cool new prize. So send us your voicemail, guys. And you know what, JT, we were just talking about guys who hit the shores here in the United States, having emigrated from another country, and are hit with just a totally unexpected set of cultural stereotypes. And I have to say, you know, on behalf of my countrymen, most Americans don't have passports. We're not very good at assimilating other cultures, and most of us haven't visited other countries. We kind of think just being American is the way to be, and when people come here, they need to fall in line or ship out. That's pretty unfair, but that's the way it is, unfortunately. Guys not only from Asia, but from, you know, let's just call it what it is, guys who come from countries where they speak Arabic tend to run into stereotypes here, especially after 9/11. Guys who come from Russia with Russian accents tend to run into some problems here. Guys from India come here and have a hard time. What would you say to those guys about how not necessarily to do away with their old culture, be proud of who they are, but definitely do what it takes to get better with women in their new country?
Right, right. No, that's an absolutely excellent question. One thing I always tell my students is I want to teach you how to be successful because you're Asian, not in spite of being Asian. When people, that, you know, when they're fresh off the boat, you, one of the big things is fashion that I see, where if they're dressed in a certain way, or they're dressed very kind of old-fashioned and not kind of up-to-date, or hip, or sexual, or even like professional. I see this a lot. When I used to be an engineer, these brainiacs may have been to like Princeton or wherever, but were born over in India or Asia. You know, they're completely just really old-fashioned and not up-to-date. And that's always a big thing because a woman, you want a favorable first impression. So just updating yourself, making yourself look presentable in a good manner. Hygiene is very important. You know, and there are different standards of hygiene. I know in Asia, there are certain things that will say, you know, if you have long fingernails on a guy, that's considered attractive. Out here, unless you happen to have a alternative lifestyle, long fingernails on a guy is not attractive. Americans are big or huge on teeth, having straight teeth, having bright white teeth. So getting crushed white strips, just whitening and braces, stuff like that are very important. There are a lot of things that one can do just to create that positive first impression so that when you do go up to her and you talk to her, regardless of if you have an accent or not, having that first impression will enable you to put your best foot forward. I remember I had one student in Chicago, and he was like the biggest Indian fob. He had the glasses and the heavy accent. But he had such strong warmth when you actually talked to him that women completely forgot that he was a foreigner because he was like so engaging, so smiling. He had like the biggest smile, and he just made people feel good despite the fact that he had a heavy accent, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure the accent is what crushes these guys. It's what they do with their persona coming from another country and how much they adhere to really a stereotype versus how much they're willing to kind of step out of their own cultural comfort zone or familiarity zone and just try to be a part of where they've moved to. You know, that's easier said than done. And, you know, I don't think it's something that people coming to America are uniquely responsible to do. I think anyone who's an expat coming from the United States, even if, well, heck with being an expat, even just traveling to another country, you've got to make sure that you are making other people in that culture feel comfortable with your presence. And a lot of that has to do with being accepting of that other cultural mindset while you're there rather than kind of imposing your own cultural values on them. It's kind of like the old adage, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. That's extra important if you've moved somewhere else.
Right. I mean, what you're describing is the social isolation effect. You know, whenever we go to another country, we feel isolated. And so what we do is we isolate ourselves more, which starts to play in those stereotypes because then you're not expressing your personality, you know, like your real personality to people. So when people look at you, they're going to attribute, you know, what is the easiest kind of personality that they can perceive. Someone quiet, someone that falls into those stereotypes instead of, as you said, ingratiating yourself and being part of the fabric of the culture that you're currently existing in.
Let's consider, for example, that a guy has come from another place and he has done well at assimilating into that new culture, you know, in a way that's true to himself. And now, what does he need to do to learn more about the women in that new culture? And what are some great ways to getting on the fast track to meeting those women?
Excellent question. I would say when someone is coming over here to America, let's kind of separate, you know, and categorize this.
Sure.
Someone coming over to America, we talked about some of the basics, hygiene, fashion, making a good first impression. Okay, so the guy's got all that down. Let's talk about, like, mental belief. One of the things, especially Asian guys that come from, you know, more conservative, that you don't approach women, that have a belief that women don't want to be approached, right? Here in America, women do expect to be approached and want to be approached. And I want the guys that are listening to this, you know, you don't have to be Asian to find this a revelation because, you know, when I thought about this, it made so much sense, is that when, you know, what a girl is thinking, when she sees a cute guy, when she sees someone that she finds incredibly attractive, she wants him to come up to her, chat her up, see what happens, see if there's chemistry, see if there's that sexual tension. And when you, as a handsome, attractive, confident guy, do not approach her, she doesn't think that you have approach anxiety. You know, like, you know, I remember starting out, I was almost like pissing my pants at the thought of approaching an attractive girl. Now, the woman doesn't think that. She doesn't think you're scared. She thinks that you just don't like her.
Or that's just who you are.
Yeah, you don't want to talk to her, right? She doesn't think that, you know, you're scared. So for the guys that aren't used to approaching girls or are taught not to approach girls, you have to realize, you know, wrap your mind around this, is that you may find this girl attractive, and if you're scared to approach her, she's going to think that you just don't like her, right? So you are doing her a favor by approaching her, by enlightening her to you, you know, showing that Asian guys or Indian guys do find women of other ethnicities attractive.
Let me ask you this question. Are American women, are women from, say, the UK, harder to get along with? Are they harder to get to know? Are they harder to impress, as it were? Are they less feminine than women all over the world? Are they so different?
Are you talking about, like, Western women versus other groups of women, like the US and UK?
Sure. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Because it's a stereotype out there that American women have lost their femininity. They want to be the man of the house. They want to wear the pants. They're harder to please. They're not as feminine anymore as, say, Eastern European women or Asian women. And even American guys are just better off going overseas to try to find a quote-unquote real woman.
Right.
What's your experience with that? Is that so true?
You know, like in all stereotypes, there's definitely a kernel of truth to that. I do think that, however, is a product of being in a first world country, the modernization. I know a lot of people will say, oh, you know, Asian women are more feminine. And there's certain truth to that, you know, whether it comes to body size or culture. But I want to point out, again, it's a product of being in a modern world. All right. And you're starting to see this over in Asia, where Chinese men, because of the gender imbalance, Chinese men now have to come to women with dowries, essentially the modern day equivalent of dowries. So that perception of Asian women being feminine and not, like, you know, cutting guys' balls off, that's starting to change over there too. All right. I personally love all types of women. I've dated, you know, white, black, Asian. And, you know, to me, I've always enjoyed being with, like, American and British and Australian girls as well. So I don't really think of it in that regards. And but I can see the perception. But, you know, to me, I like dealing with someone I believe is my social, you know, equal at my peer level, not someone that I'm coming in from a higher, like, social value or, like, from a first world country or something like that.
What about guys who move to a new country, who emigrate from one country to another? Why is it that they don't go after women who are like them, who have come from the same country they have, and maybe have that connection with and can start a relationship together in this new culture? I've never really met a guy who's come to me saying, you know, I'm from India and I prefer Indian women who are in America, or I come from China and I'd love to meet some Chinese women. What's the fascination with the need to have a woman who's from my new culture or from a different culture because I'm in a different culture? Or, you know, am I overstating it?
Well, I mean, if you want to, there's, like, all these kind of different theories, right? You know, evolutionary speaking, if one group of DNA is completely separate from another genome and whatnot, you know, it creates better and more beautiful babies. but that's very abstract. I think when you are in a new country or you are in a new culture, there is a fascination. And I'm sure you've seen this when you travel to a different country. You just want to be a part of that. And everything a girl does, whether, you know, she's Brazilian, I remember going to Brazil, is just fascinating in the way they act, the way they talk, the way they walk. It's the newness of that. It's like being in a romance, like the beginning throes of your first love. It's just kind of like endorphin high, and it's magical. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, whether you're a white guy going over to Japan or an Asian guy coming over to the U.S. I think it's a great thing to discover and explore outside of your own culture instead of being, like, socially isolated, which we talked about before.
Sure. I agree with you also. I mean, who wants to, as an American, fly off to Rio and go trying to meet other American women? I mean, you know, that's not why you're there. I mean, I completely understand the whole mindset behind it, and I do agree that it's valid. And here's yet another direction we should go with this. Heretofore, JT, we've been talking about guys who are going to another country as foreigners. What about guys who are still living in the same country they've always lived in? They're all here in the United States, born and bred in the United States, maybe even in Europe or whatever. I mean, more and more countries are becoming more and more of a melting pot. We went to Singapore, and that was just an immensely fascinating melting pot. What if you're in the same country as all these other women you would like to date, and you're still interested in dating women who are of another race or another culture? What are some of the unexpected challenges you may face, as well as maybe some of the unexpected joys you may face because you're going after different kinds of women?
Well, let's go with maybe, I guess, a specific group. I know there's a lot of groups of, like, whether white guys or black guys, you know, living in America that would like to explore a relationship with, say, an Asian woman. One of the things is, obviously, you have to find an Asian woman wherever they congregate. And you know, when it comes to exploring like Asian culture, one thing that you'll discover is, again, that social isolation. And it's more of a slow burning game, I think. And, you know, obviously there are some women that are completely going to be chasing after you. But a lot of Asian girls that are coming from a conservative background, you know, it's a slow burn. You introduce yourself to the friends, you get to know the social circle, the peer group, and then get introduced to her. Or having a wingman or a social enabler from that cultural group pull you in, that's a way to get into a different culture and get accepted by their culture. And obviously, it's a joy because, you know, I've had a lot of white friends that have dated Indian and Asian girls, and they are able to explore. You know, as you mentioned, a lot of Americans, something like 70% of Americans don't have passports. This, in a way, is kind of like a way of exploring another country when you're invited to spend time at someone's house and they have like a statue of the Buddha in their living room. Because like my family, I think two of my aunts are married to white guys, and they're pretty cool guys. And to them, you know, being accepted into a different culture and learning how to speak Vietnamese and learning how to eat the way we do is something that they, you know, it's new to them, and it's something that they enjoy immensely.
Yeah, I think we're fortunately getting a little bit over the hump, as it were, in the guess who's coming to dinner kind of realm. I don't think it's so shocking to parents, old school parents, as it used to be that we would date someone who doesn't look like we do or come from the exact same culture we do. But, you know, it's still something to consider if you're going to go and be maybe the first in your family who's ever dated outside your own race. Certainly when guys talk about Hispanic women, and we've talked about Hispanic women on this show before, Latinas, being Hispanic is really a misnomer in terms of race. I mean, it's just someone who speaks Spanish as their first language. Their skin color can vary dramatically to both extremes and everywhere in the middle. They can come from all over the world. And I think in many ways, Asian is another thing like that. Really, we're all human beings. And if we're soulmates and we get along, that's really as good as it gets. It shouldn't matter what the race is. And with the world becoming so much smaller, man, it just leads to a potentially more enriching life if we can, as men and women, really appreciate and respect the culture of the person we're getting involved in that relationship with. Excellent, excellent. I agree with you 1,000% on that. JT, I'm going to go ahead and ask you this question. If you don't want to answer this question, I'm going to erase it, but they're going to kick my butt if I don't ask it.
Okay.
What would you tell a woman who believes all Asian guys have small penises?
So, you're thinking about it, aren't you? You're thinking about my penis. Okay, we can find out. Yeah, you know what? That is the response that has worked. It's simply turning the tables. Back in the day when I was younger, when I was accosted with that, girls and guys have used that stereotype against me to my face, and it used to upset me. But now it's just, you gotta flip the script, turn the tables. And obviously, if she's talking about Asian penis or my penis, she's at least thinking about it.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that you threw that on the table, because I think a lot of Asian guys do get hit with that, and it's gotta just piss them off. I know it does.
One time, literally, because I get rejected by an Asian girl, I get rejected by, like, one of my, you know, so-called friends who made fun of me, like, in front of all my friends. You know, like, this all happened one night. I literally went home and I cried. It was, like, devastating. It was, like, too much, right? But, you know, I've learned to deal with it. And every hurt is a lesson, and every lesson makes you stronger.
I think what's going on said here also is it is a stereotype. It's not necessarily true.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, just to be a little vulnerable here, I'm not very tall. I mean, you and I have met. We've spoken at the same conference, and you and I pretty much literally see eye to eye. We're both not very tall guys, so we see eye to eye literally. I've met lots of women who run in their brain a belief that because a guy isn't tall, he's got a small penis, which also isn't necessarily true at all. It's a lot like saying if a woman is short, she's going to have a small chest, which, of course, we all can see isn't true. Right. So thanks for sharing on that stereotype and being vulnerable, because I've never heard that question asked point blank to anyone. So I figured, why the hell not? I'm going to go ahead and start a brand new segment on this show. We're going to end every episode, guys, with what I'm about to do. I'm going to ask you questions, JT, just so we can know a little bit more about who you are. This is a rapid-fire lightning round set of questions. You ready?
All right.
What are you having for dinner tonight?
Pho.
Good choice. What's on your iPod?
Frank Sinatra.
Okay. What's the greatest thing about the woman you're seeing right now?
You know what? She will drive like an hour to come see me.
And what's your ride?
I don't have a car.
You don't have a car?
I don't have a car.
Oh, God. I can't imagine such a crazy thing. But you travel a lot, right?
Right, right. I mean, I'm going to like San Francisco and then Australia. So, you know, one day I might have a G7, but...
Why bother if you're never going to drive it, right?
Exactly.
What the heck? Let's make a fifth one. Ready?
Okay.
What's the best movie you've seen lately?
Best movie? You know what? Limitless. I really like that.
Sweet. Sweet. Good stuff. All right, guys, you've heard some amazingly intuitive and insightful stuff from one JT Tran, a.k.a. the Asian Playboy, and hope you enjoyed it. And listen, guys, no matter who you are, where you come from, you're going to be able to get the kind of women you want if you're a big four man. That's what it comes down to. You be this confident guy. You be masculine in the way women define it. Man, us guys in the United States and over in the UK and in Australia, man, we're just forgetting how to be masculine. That language of masculinity and femininity igniting each other literally – man, it's all over the world. It's the same thing. It's amazing how femininity is the same in Asia as it is in Latin America. I just visited my 74th country, guys, and I have yet to have that disproven. It's an amazing truth in this life. Also, guys, if you are a man of character, if you've got that cornerstone belief system that says, I'm going to do the right thing when nobody else is looking, you're going to be attracting great, high-quality women who are like you rather than women who are going to cuckold you behind your back, take everything in divorce court, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, make a woman feel safe and comfortable in your presence. Be that protector, even as you're a guy who shows her that, you know, you may not be a millionaire, but you know how to provide for a family someday. All that stuff just means you're going to get the women you want regardless of who you are, what country you're in. And I'll tell you what, guys, that's all there is to it. JT, man, thanks again for being with us. What a great show.
Thank you for having me, Scott. I appreciate it.
And until I talk to you again on episode number 50, we'll have to do something special for that, of the Chick Whisperer Show. This is Scott McKay. Be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2009 by X and Y Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the X and Y Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.